So good afternoon for everyone. Thank you for coming. So next 10-12 minutes, we are going to talk about a little bit some corneal response models to plant density, and we will focus more on understanding data distribution. So I would like to start with a question. How does corneal respond to plant density? So there isn't anything new here. It's just to reemphasize our knowledge. So this is the most likely response that you can get for a study involving plant density and grain yield. So we have plant density in the x-axis and yield in y-axis, and this is a quadratic response. So it's the most likely response that you can get. And then you can start dissecting the response. If you dissect the response, you can see four major regions. In red here, a high linear response region. Then we move to a low region with a positive response yet, then a neutral region, and then after the inflection point, we get a negative response. So basically, it happens because there is a kind of trade-off between yield per plant and plant density. So here in green line now, we can see the yield per plant. We can also dissect this relationship by yield levels that we call yield environments. So here we have the same trend, a quadratic response, but for different yield levels. So we can see that in the pink line is a low yield environment. We get a response that is more flat. And then as we increase our yield level, we can get more steep responses. So basically what we tried to do with our research was put some numbers for these graphs and the x and y axis to try to answer some questions. So our research questions are, the number one, within the same yield environment, is the yield plant density response constant along the time and space? When I said time is related to different growing seasons or years, and space is related to geographical positions. Then the question number two, is the average yield of the field enough to characterize yield environment? So field or a region within a field also. And then the question number three, how much yield variability is needed to identify differences in yield density, yield plant density response? So those are the three questions that we try response with our study. So to do that, we conduct some field experiments in Brazil. So this is the Southern State of Brazil. We have six locations, and we split our data in training data and validation data. We use training data to build empirical models, and then we use the validation data to validate those models. We basically have information from three years also. And then we have an additional data set from United States that we use as a validation data also. So to go into the experiments in Brazil, basically we're looking for fields where we had some information about the variability. And we access this information through yield maps, yield monitor maps. So we're basically looking for fields where we have at least four yield maps from recent growing seasons. Then we just overlap those maps to get a map with, that is an average from 4 years. It's the big one here. And then we looked for some regions within this field with different environments. So we choose some regions that we call low yield environment, is the red one, with a yield averaging, with a yield average around 9, a medium one is the green one, with a yield around 10, and a high one, the blue, with an average yield around 13. In these places, we just set up a randomized block design experiment with 4 repetitions, so it's just a strip when we put different seeding rates. Our seed rates ranging from 56,000 plants per hectare until 88,000 plants per hectare. We can see that we have a lot of variability, special variability within our plots. And for this reason, we add some special components in our analysis to take it into account. Then moving to data analysis, so we perform ANOVA using mixed models because we had information from different years, special measures that we call classify as repeated measures, and site also. And then, so mixed models with special components. And we did some regression analysis, and always when we graph a regression analysis, we build a density plot. So that it's important to mention that density in the y-axis is not planned density, it's a probability measure. So basically just to see how our variability looks like. Then after that, we just superimpose our validation data. So the first graph that I show is the training data, and then we superimpose our validation data. And then in the right panel, the density, we're just looking for some statistical parameters to try link the density plot to the response. So those are the statistical parameters that we looking for, we pay attention, and then just to remember, the mean is just the average of the all points, the mode is the more frequent value, the skewness relates to the asymmetry of the distribution, the tails, if the tail is to the left or to the right, and then kurtosis, that is a relationship between the high and the width of the distribution. So moving to results, since we get an interaction between yield environment and plant density, we just graph, we did regression separately to each yield environment. So we start in the low yield environment, we get a negative response for the range of plantness that we tested. When we move to the median yield environment is when we start to see some seeding rate or plant density becomes an important factor impacting grain yield. And then we move to the high yield environment, and then we get a positive response, a linear positive response. And then when we superimpose our validation data from different sites and from different years, Brazil and United States, we see that they are really close. And then we compare the coefficients of the equations to make sure that they are statistically equal. And then we found that all the relationships within the same yield environment, they are statistically equal. The coefficients are statistically equal. So this is related to our first question. Then, when we move to our second question, is to link the density distribution to the response. So looking to the variability and try understand which statistical parameters say to us that this kind of distribution could be related to this kind of response. Then we just get one. I just bring one because of time constraint, so we just get one here. But we did for all the environments the same procedure. So in this environment, we have the same response to the training data and our validation data from Brazil, United States, and then we just superimpose the distributions. And then just remember the statistical parameters that you pay attention in the distribution, and we see that the mode in the first and third quartiles were the most important ones. Basically, we see that when you have distributions, you frequency distributions with equal mode, first and third quartile, we get a high probability to get at the same yield response to plant density. So we also did some sensitivity analysis. We just chop the first, the 25 first percentile off and the last 25, and we see that there is no change in the response also. So the most important part of our data was the 50% in the center of the distribution. And then to answer our last question, relate to how much variability I need to identify differences in yield plant responses, we just build an overall distribution. In this overall distribution, we just put everything together, regardless the year, the site, or training, or validation. We just graph everything together, build an overall distribution, and then we chop this overall distribution in different environments. So less than 6, 6 to 8, so on to more than 18. And then we also graph the response. But in this response, it's a little bit different. We just put in a relative term. It's relative to grain yield. So this is relative to our lowest plant density, 56,000 seeds per hectare. Then we see that there is a continuous change in the response as we move to a high yield environment. So basically we start with a negative trend, Then we move to a neutron, a quadratic, and finally almost linear positive response. So going to the conclusions, we basically see that the de facto relationship, the factor is the plant density, within the same yield environment remain constant regardless the year and the location of our study. And then mold and first and third quartiles were the most important parameters to describe the yield plant density. With that, I'd like to thank you and take any questions. Y-axis?
Yes.
Okay. So here basically we call this kernel density. So it's a kind of measure of probability. So the interpretation of the y-axis is a little bit hard, but basically what you say is a measure is a frequency measurement. So the main information behind this graph is that the area represents 100% of our data. And then when we start to integrate this, if you get a portion, so the area of that portion relates to the total area, is related to the percentage of the of that data that you have from this section. So basically, but other way to show this is putting frequency in 1 to 100% would be the same. The shape of the graph is the same. I don't know if I answered your question.
We're often running our density trials up above 100,000, and it strikes me here, if you look at this graph, most aperitures have the lowest density as the optimum, and a number of the others aren't resolved. In other words, you don't find the real optimum. How would this change if you had your highest density at 120,000?
So basically, the question is related to our seeding rates that we choose, and then it's because we don't get the optimal density, right? And then how it could change if you goes in direction to the high densities. So basically we choose these densities because when we start, we believe that with these densities probably we would get the agronomic optimal. But then from some cases we didn't get